cooking from any Latinx country and region is like so top tier. And
oh my god, we do have the best food. I will say that.
Honestly, yeah. Hello, book lovers. Welcome back to yet another amazing episode of Try Reading, the book podcast hosted by me, Gabriel Torres. But nobody cares about me. You're obviously all here to see who the guest is. And let me tell you, she is nothing short of an icon. Today, I am joined by the lovely fashionista, book obsessed, Carmen Alvarez. How are you doing, Carmen?
Oh, Gabriel, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me this afternoon. I appreciate your time and I'm so excited to be here.
Of course, I appreciate your time. Oh my gosh, it's such an honor to have you on the podcast. And I'm just so excited to talk with you today.
I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I can't wait to chat.
Well, that makes me so excited. Listeners, if you don't know who Carmen is, let me tell you about her. Otherwise known as Tomes and Textiles on BookTok and Bookstagram, Carmen is a content creator who makes lots of videos about Latinx and BIPOC books and authors, which is amazing because knowing how non-diverse the publishing world can be, we need people talking about reading, promoting, and sharing books and stories that matter. And Carmen is doing all of that and more. Carmen's videos range from Latinx book recs for your favorite TV shows, bookish fashion, publishing discussions, book recs that are perfect for every season or time of year, a look into what it's like being a content creator, and I think most notable, every Tuesday, aka Trad Pub Day, Carmen posts her Latinx releases videos shouting out all the Latinx releases on her radar. It's so amazing. I've gotten so many good book recs and it's just so fun. So those Tuesday videos are so fun to watch and I always look forward to those. And listeners, if you aren't following Carmen, let this episode be your sign to get to it. Also, just a shout out, Carmen recently interviewed the Silvia Moreno-Garcia for the USF Humanities Institute, which is so iconic. So Carmen, I am just so delighted to be talking with you today. This is the biggest honor. As you can see, I'm so excited. And so thank you for being here.
That was like the most validating introduction I've ever had in my life. And it's very motivating. And I've put my Tuesdays a little bit on pause. October was a little wild with my timeline. And like, you're totally motivating me to get back and get caught up on October so I could go on a November roundup. So thank you very much for that lovely introduction. I feel like I am not worthy of all that.
Oh my gosh. No, you totally are. And I am just, yeah, it's so exciting. And I just can't wait to learn more about you and your side of the book world.
Yeah, I'm excited to tell you about it.
Well, I always start the podcast with the question, what is your current read?
I had to think about it because I never know what I'm reading, but I'm trying to come off of spooky reading, but also I started Indigenous Heritage Month reading early. So I just read My Heart is a Chainsaw and I read that like one book ago, and then I just finished Don't Fear the Reaper, which is the follow-up by Stephen Graham Jones. And they are just incredible stories. I'm a little bit of a chicken and I try to like make myself more brave with every horror book that I read. And these books are like this wonderful story. Like Jade is, she's just pure gold. And, you know, Stephen really does a great job of writing this very fierce female character who's overcoming so much and also investigating like mass murders going on in her town, who's very knowledgeable about horror. And it is, these two books have just been amazing. And I don't know how Stephen does it, but like he does this thing where like the action is happening. And then always in the last like 30 or 40 pages, it's like he gets your heart rate going. Like he changes gears at the very end and like leaves the books in these spaces that are just, it leaves you wanting more as well as just so fulfilled in your heart, like bursting. You didn't even think you would like be so in love with these characters and this town and all of it. So I'm coming off of this complete high of reading that book. So sorry, that's a very long question.
No, oh my gosh. Response. Please, not at all. Oh my gosh. Those sound amazing. And the titles sound so familiar, but I'm going to have to read those because I'm also someone who like, I hate horror movies. I can't do those, but I found a love for like horror novels, and like I'm finding like what I enjoy. So that just sounds really good and really intriguing.
And he is, Stephen Graham Jones, as well as his character Jade, are like aficionados in horror film. So he references a lot of movies. And so it may be, it was a little bit of an introduction because it was a reread of My Heart is a Chainsaw. I just wanted to get the full picture of the town before I started the second book. And I've watched a lot of movies that I kind of noted as I was doing it. And some of them are like really scary, but a lot of them are very fun, especially a lot of the 80s ones. Like they're like gory and ridiculous. And so these books have also given me a love of horror film as well. So it's a little bit of an education.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to have to read those. And let's see, my current read, I've been for the past like 2 months, I would say, in quite a reading slump. I think I started my senior year of high school, so that's like affecting everything, of course. Sure. And I think, I don't know, just right now there is a lot going on and my mind has been so focused on just educating myself and learning about other things and other cultures and just specifically as well, just with what's happening and with the Palestinians. And so I think that motivation to read has been like, it has been draining, and it's been like, I really... So all that to say, I am going to be starting an arc of So Let Them Burn by Camila Cole, and it comes out January 16th. It is a Jamaican inspired YA fantasy, and it's perfect for fans of like Iron Widow and Priory of the Orange Tree, and it has dragons, and it's basically the main character has to save her sister or sacrifice her sister to save her world. So it's very like, pick either side. And I'm very excited to read it. The cover is stunning. That's going to be like my fourth wing, for me.
Oh, wonderful. So,
yeah.
That sounds great. You said the magic word dragon and the mythology that you mentioned. So that sounds wonderful. I can't wait to hear more about it.
Yeah, I am.
And hopefully
very excited.
It breaks you out of your slump.
Yes, I know. My fingers are crossed. Well, my first official question for you is, what got you into books and reading?
I'd have to say is my parents. They were immigrants to this country, and because English was their second language and something that they very much struggled with because they were very much adults when they moved here. I was born after they got here, and I think they were like, well, we don't know what we're going to do with her. Like, we can't teach her English, and no one in the family really can do it either. So I think at school, a teacher mentioned to my mom that she could go to the library and get me a library card so I could like start picking up books in English. And so my mom or my dad, whoever picked me up from school, would like take me every week to the library. And they were like, you've got to read these books so that, you know, you can learn how to speak and write in English. So it was really like them, through like love and tender care that they, like, I was very fortunate to receive, that they kind of instilled in me this love of reading that as a kid, I didn't understand how much I loved it. And then like, as a teenager, I felt like it saved me. And then I gave it up for a little while as an adult, I think maybe, you know, burnout or life or whatever. And then coming back to it, I feel like reading always becomes this very central part of my life when I'm doing it regularly. So I have my parents to thank for it.
That's so wonderful. I love just that it started so young, and also that it involves libraries too, because those are such an important part of the book community, and so wonderful for readers of any age, but especially younger readers, to have this like access of all these books in one place. And so that's really wonderful that it started at such a young age and it's still with you.
Yeah. I'm very, very lucky in that aspect of how it all came together for me.
Yeah. Well, can you remember a time when you read a book and realized that words on a page have power?
This again is a young story. because my parents never really monitored my reading, I really did have that sort of unfettered access to the library to a certain extent. And I checked out The Diary of Anne Frank. And I think I was like 9 or 10. And what struck me when I realized the history and that it was an actual diary and everything around Anne's story, it struck me that someone took the time to like put this in a book and put it out there for us to see like what happened in Anne's life and for Anne to be recognized and known. And I think coming from, you know, my parents, again, like a lot of things revolve around my parents, but, you know, they were refugees and we had, my dad had been put in like some camps in Cuba and all these things. And so it struck me that one thing could have gone wrong and he wouldn't have been here and where would his story have been? So that really, like, it stayed with me for a long time that, we can find like hidden histories and like things that were maybe meant to be buried by history or just how things are through books. And that's always been, it's been something that as an adult has driven like what I do with Instagram and book talk and whatnot. But as a kid, I didn't read that deeply into it. But I realized when I got my history degree and like I did all these different things in my life, like how much that book actually impacted me.
Wow. Well, that's such an amazing answer and just such a powerful book as well. And like you were saying, that realization of, yeah, someone took these diary entries and made it accessible for the world to see. And that's really amazing. And
It's always important that we bear witness to history and, you know, and even like in real time now, as you were talking about with Palestine and, you know, it's like, I think there's so many lessons to be learned by it. And, I just saw an article that they were trying to ban it somewhere here in Florida. And I'm like, it makes, you know, it makes sense with how much people, a lot of like current history, like, you know, is reduced by media in some instances and stuff. So it's all tied together, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that wonderful answer.
Yeah, sure.
So I guess my question would be, now that you've grown such, you know, a big account on Bookstagram and Book Talk, and you have this major community, when did you discover Bookstagram and Book Talk? And did you discover one or the other first?
So I've been on Bookstagram for 8 years. So definitely Bookstagram first. If not, I would have been like the first book talker, which would have been great, but I was a little too early for that. And it was actually a result, before I was Tomes and Textiles, I was another account with my bookish bestie, Anna Liza. We had this account called YA Wednesdays, and that's the account that we started in 2015. And it was like to help promote our blog that we had started. We had started like blogging, like the blog was sort of us talking to each other about the books we were reading and like recommending each other books in a sense, and we were sort of dividing and conquering, and it was us convincing us to read each other's, read what each other's books were. And you know, people get busy and, you know, and like things change and whatnot. And Anne got, you know, she had other endeavors and things, and she's still like one of my very best friends. And Tomes and Textiles was a side name of another account. We were going to start like 10 different blogs, 10 different Instagram accounts until we realized like how hard it was to actually do. And so I said, hey, I know that you're doing, like, she curates this micro cinema now in Ybor City. It's super cute. It's called Screen Door. And she was starting up with her first micro cinema thing at the time. And I said, look, I know you're not going to do anything with books. Can I have Tomes and Textiles? And she's like, oh, please take it. She's like, please, that's my dream account. And she's like, I would love it if you did that. So then I grew it because I don't know, I always leave space if she wants to come back. And she always, you know, we always kind of talk about that. Like if she ever wants to come back, if we ever want to do something together, we still have that YA Wednesdays name. So then I switched over to Tomes and Textiles. It was maybe like 3.5, 4 years ago. now, and so that's the story of Tones and Textiles. It's not the typical story of a social media of a book influencer, but it's my story. And then I was opposed to TikTok, I think, because I'm like way older than most people that are doing all the influencing. But I know I'm most of the people I know are like in their 20s or like early 30s. And I was kind of opposed to it. And then I was like, let me just try it a little bit. And it was just much easier to grow. And it felt like the algorithm was much more open in 2021 on TikTok. So it just happened as a, let me see what happens. And it became like this, the same way that Bookstagram was a way for me to learn how to do photography and edit photos, TikTok became a way for me to not be so shy in front of the camera and to learn to speak to people about books. And I think it's a stepping stone for me to eventually end up on YouTube. I keep talking about YouTube, so I think at some point I'll probably be on there too. But it's been a great entry point for me to just sit at the camera and talk to someone like they're a friend about books, which Bookstagram, I always feel like there's a step back with the photo, you know, and with the caption, like it's never 100% personal, even if the caption may be personal. I feel like TikTok's a little more intimate.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so wonderful. And like you had said, that sort of like, let's see what happens turned into where you are now. And yeah, and that's, I didn't even know that you were on Bookstagram for that long period of time, long before, even before Tomes and Textiles became a thing. And so it's really cool that you had that sort of experience of talking about books and posting about books. And then there was this new way of doing it. And you sort of had mentioned that you were opposed to it at first. But when you did sort of find Book Talk, what were your first impressions of it?
I think when I found it, I didn't know what to do at first. And I am very much like the kind of person that like, I'll sort of rush into something. And then I'm like, what am I actually doing here? And I'm like, I need to take a step back. I found like some people that I kind of knew from Book Twitter and some from Bookstagram. And we were all, I felt like all at the same time trying to make sense of it. So that was very helpful to find people who were like, what are we doing here? And I thought it was very interesting that a lot of the people I was following who were talking about diverse books didn't have the biggest followings, the most amount of views. And then I started like knowing now what I know about how like the book, the quote unquote book talk table at Barnes and Noble and like what the book talk books are, I very much saw the precursor of the big videos that were blowing up were all of these white cis authors, like all this. And it seems like a lot of the big books haven't even changed in the years I've been on there. So now it's become for me, like my account is resistance to that. It's like, I want to, you know, it's like, I know I will never have, you know, a million followers, but I'm very comfortable with what I'm doing. So I have very much evolved past that. I'm trying to go viral with every video mentality. And I'm putting what I want to see in the world out so that maybe I can make a difference for those authors and those books.
Absolutely. That is so beautifully said. And yeah, it's just to have that, I have to say, like, as someone who views Book Talk videos, when I first opened the app and started, you know, it started just showing me book videos. Yeah, it was a lot of those like standard white authors, white characters. And as someone who is half Puerto Rican, it's sort of like, I'd like to see myself in a story. Sure. And so it was really, really great to find your account and then, you know, then see others pop up and just again seeing what I want to see. And so no, I mean, really, no matter how small the account is, if you're talking about, you know, what's important to you and like you were saying, the books that matter and what you want to put out into the world and what you want to see, I think you'll hopefully gain that back as a positive response. And I mean, from what I can see, you've built a really wonderful community on both Bookstagram and BookTok.
I really do try to curate a safe space, not only for my followers, but like for me. Like I try not to engage in things. Like there's definitely cycles of things. And as someone who's Latinx, it's like, you know, it's like using something that isn't Latino or Latina, it's like that's always a point of contention. And it's like that's just a block for me. And it's like, I'm not going to even talk about it. I'm not going to change your mind on social media. You know, it's like I know the things that I want. I try to concentrate my energy on the things that I know will make a difference. And it's hard because you want to, like, I don't know, I want to tussle. I want to like get in the mud over things and like be upset about people. But it's like at a certain level, it's like wasting my time and energy that I could be spending on the things I want to do. And I've learned to give up the fight in like a small way in order to keep doing what I want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was earlier or around midway through Latinx Heritage Month, there was a lot being talked about with content creators going to Barnes & Noble and sort of seeing like,
oh yeah,
do you guys have a Latinx table? And yeah, and so seeing your videos, it had sort of like inspired me to be like, okay, let me go check mine. Because where I live, there's no like indie bookstores. So that's kind of like my only like in-person bookstore. And there was just like this tiny end cap way in the back of the store. And it's sort of like, okay, that really sucks, right? And it's like,
yeah.
But then it was something that you had said in one of your videos that like you were just going to sort of stop giving attention to it. Cause it was like, why waste your breath and your energy on something that like you, like you said, it's not like you're going to change their minds necessarily. It's not like every Barnes and Noble is going to suddenly have all these huge Latinx tables, but just then putting your energy and your passion into stuff that's really important and that matters to you. So, that really stood out to me during that time.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things as an older person, I really only have so much energy. And so it was that I remember what it was. It was that I went to go post the video and it literally posted the draft where I was replying to someone who said to go to the other Barnes and Noble, and it deleted it just back to the draft video. And I had shot like, you know, I'd shot in there like 10 minutes or something, and I had edited down the 10 minutes to a few minutes. And I was like, I'm not going back in there to do this again. And I was like, this is a sign to me. This is a sign to like not waste my time and give them energy. But I also recognize too, and I don't know that I said that in that video, but it's a privilege, right? It's a privilege to have like indie bookstores and used bookstores and, you know, thrift stores that have books that, you know, maybe 30, 40% of them are like newer books and things. It's a privilege. Like not everyone has that access, you know, even with libraries or whatever, and even to have a Barnes and Noble is a privilege. And so it's like, whatever you have access to, it's like, how can they diversify what they're doing and what can we do, you know, to have them do that? And it's like, I thought about like maybe for halfway to Latinx Heritage Month, which would probably be when they as a corporation were planning it, to like have some sort of like letter writing campaign to the corporate headquarters where like, you know, if we could get thousands of people to send them letters and be like, please have this in all your stores, because in a lot of places, Barnes and Noble is the only place to buy, you know, and it's like, maybe we could make a difference as they're planning for next year to do better based on what happened this year, you know, and the exposure of what occurred this year.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And it was, yeah, I think, yeah, just it stuck with me. And it's, yeah, what you said is very true. And I, you know, you had sort of talked about with your Bookstagram account that, it, you know, way back even before Tomes and Textiles, it was, you know, with your friend, and that you were, you know, basically was, you know, recommending books and to each other, but then bringing that to the followers in your community. And but when you started BookTok, was there a specific aim or goal behind starting that account? Or and if so, did it change over time?
I think I wanted it to be like a part, like almost like a third dimension of like what I had been doing on Bookstagram since I had video, and I hadn't played with video very much on Bookstagram. I mean, I had been making reels, but TikTok makes it so much easier to make video content for someone who really is not an expert, that I wanted to play around with different formats, and I wanted to get comfortable like scripting and making video content. Like I had really never done that before, in the way that I do now on TikTok. And so, and just getting comfortable speaking, because I do a lot of like you, the number of yeah-ums that I edit from my videos to this day is ridiculous. And that is with, I mean, I don't write out my entire script, and you know, maybe that's my fault, but I'm too, if I read, I sound too much like I'm reading. So I have to have a happy medium. Yeah. See, it's like I can't stop myself from doing it. But I've learned to, you know, slow down the way that I'm talking so that I can fit those things out. And I didn't know when I started it was going to be like a training ground for me. I thought I was going to be like changing clothes and doing like all these like amazing like videos where people like, you know, do these edits and like cover reveals. I thought it was going to be like a music video section, and it ended up becoming like me sitting in front of a microphone. And that's been like my favorite thing to do, honestly. I mean, I love clothes, I love all these things, but the way you can strip down and have these conversations about different things is completely different from what I experienced on Bookstagram. And it's been what I value the most. And it's been what TikTok has become for me. And a lot of the things I post on TikTok, they're so long, I can't really post them on Instagram, I don't think. I think you can, but those videos don't get shown very well. And so I don't really post them on Bookstagram, really. So TikTok has become its own little Carmen talking head section of who I am.
Yeah. And I, like you said earlier, like it feels a bit more personal too. And those, it's like a conversation, and whether it's a learning about something and you're educating the viewers, or it's about a new book or it's a recommendation, there is that even deeper level of personal connection rather than on Instagram. And I totally get that with the and I as someone who can edit this podcast, I thankfully can cut that out so much, but it's something I'm like, I need to like do better about that, because it sometimes gets annoying when you're like, oh my God, I've said it like 5 times in the past 2 minutes.
I know. And it's just like retraining and rewiring your brain. And, you know, you're so young, it's going to come to you. You're going to not have to edit your podcast probably in 6 months at all. They'll be completely eliminated.
Let me think of something else to say other than yeah, but I guess my next question, and, you know, throughout the past few questions, it's sort of been brought up in terms of diversity and representation and just with book talk, but whether it's for diversifying recommendations or promoting indie authors or just whatever it may be, what roles do you feel book talk plays into helping improve the book community?
I think the really interesting thing about book talk is that it's completely separate from marketing budgets. It's separate from the trending books on Bookstagram or BookTube or BookThreads or Twitter or X, whatever it's called. It is its own little universe that it seems like creates giant books out of that, books that weren't on anyone's radar one day can the next day be blown up all over the place. And so that opportunity, that sort of the way that everyone's on the same, they're not exactly on the same platform there when they're starting, but the way that it can be any book by any author, it doesn't have to be traditionally published, it can be an indie author, is, you know, I think a really valuable part of book talk. And you can see publishers are investing in book talk, and they want their books on there through the book links that Penguin Random House, and I think Simon and Schuster is doing that now. Don't quote me. But I know another, or Hachette, one of the two other major publishers just started on that. And you can tell that they want that. They understand that it's like lightning strikes once, and that a TikTok can create a viral book. And so I think that that's been a really nice part of seeing so many different books blow up on BookTok. I remember we were driving to Miami a couple of years ago, and someone started talking about that Haynes Jawbone book. It was like written in the 20s and all the pages are out of
Oh,
order.
yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, we couldn't get a copy. The publisher's like this very teeny, teeny, teeny publisher. And they're like, it took us 6 months to meet the demand from like this girl's TikToks. And it's just so random and it's just so wonderful. Like, I really do think that there are these wonderful parts of TikTok that like it's so surprising. It's like you don't know what to expect. So it's something that's very unique. And I also think that for BIPOC authors, for Latinx authors, it creates a much more level playing field, because if these authors can have their videos go viral, that their books can do better. Like, the authors maintain some sort of control over the sales of their books, especially if they're traditionally published, where, you know, a lot of it's driven by the publisher. So yeah, I like that it's this sort of like egalitarian sort of place for marketing books that doesn't necessarily feel like you're marketing books. You know, it can be like really fun and cool and interesting and funny and beautiful. Like, it can be any creative way that someone chooses to market a book. It can just surprise and take over one from one day to the next.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is really incredible how it's just changed aspects of book publishing, book selling. And I think there's that, like, sort of the famous New York Times BookTok article that was published not long after BookTok started becoming really big. And it talks about the book We Were Liars and how it published in 2014. And then in 2020, it shot back on the New York Times bestseller list. And it was like because someone started posting about it and then other people talked about it. So it's just that power of just like influence of others, especially in the book community, is really, yeah, it's really cool. And I love the aspects that you brought up. And yeah, so thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Well, what is something that being a content creator has taught you?
It's taught me that I'm really horrible at time management and that I have to work on it all the time. So, I recently, from the summer, and actually until like a week ago, I was in a transition, but I sold my business and I am now like a full-time content creator. And what I learned is that if I don't have my list of all the things that I'm doing, I'm just living chaos. And so it's taught me to manage my time a little better. It's also taught me to like value my time a lot more, like make the list, get it done, and then like go touch grass and like go out and do that. So, you know, I'm a really hard person to wrangle in sometimes, like, you know, internally as someone who's having to deal with myself all the time. And this is really, it's taught me that very much I have to discipline myself and make lists and work with them. I think the other thing that's been really important is that like my time is valuable, and I have very low self-esteem, and like, you know, all the ways that like, you know, it's like we're taught that, you know, like we should be the ones who give up our time and help people out and nurture and all these things. But the thing is that to do that for every single person that asks me to do it, I would not be able to get what I need to get done. So, I have to prioritize and value my time if I'm going to get done the things that I want to get done. And I know it sounds so simple, but I can remember in 2020, when one had much more time because we were all at home, I was answering every single DM immediately, every email immediately, every single thing immediately. And you know, I feel like you know, I'm very grateful to my therapist for being like, look, you can't do all of this and then have your other life, like your business, your friendships, your family, like all these things. And like, it was very eye-opening to understand like why I was feeling so stressed and pulled apart at that time. So, valuing my time is really important. And I think finally, that something that kind of dovetails into that is asking for compensation. If it's a publisher or an author and they want you to do something, never be afraid to literally value your time and ask them if they have a budget, because you're not going to get what they don't offer. And sometimes all it takes is asking to get, you know, even a small budget. And a lot of creators, I think, are afraid to ask for one because maybe they would be seen as greedy, or they're making money off of a hobby that's a passion project and they don't want to do that. But there's nothing wrong with it. Authors make money, publishers make money, you know, all sorts of people make money around books, content creators. We were talking about viral books, you know, last question. We sell books with what we do, and we shouldn't be afraid to ask for a budget if we feel that, you know, we want to do that. I mean, some people don't, and I respect that. But if you're like, well, I have to give up something to do this, for an author, a publisher, you know, ask, you never know.
It's so true. And I think, yeah, just like, it's your time, it's your effort, it's your energy, and yeah, you deserve to, be acknowledged for that, other than just like, oh, we saw the video, thanks for posting it. Like, and yeah, and taking care of yourself too, like you had said, prioritizing your well-being. And not getting swept up in taking care of everybody else first.
And it's, you know, it can be overwhelming if you know you have like a big response from something and it's like you want, like, I know I used to be this way. I want to like respond to every single comment. I want to respond to every single thing. And it's like at some point there has to be like give and take, and like I can't have it take me away from like my family or my friends. Like those are very valuable and cherished times of my life, and it's like I don't want to be away from that in order to, you know, be on social media answering comments. I like the way TikTok doesn't really filter your comments, which I wish they would let you do that. But Instagram, their comment filtering has gotten a lot better. So like, you know, my mutuals and, you know, people that are in like my close friends, like I always make sure to be interacting with them. And then like everyone else, it's like it'll come in time or it won't. And that's okay too. You know, you have to just let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a, that's a wonderful answer. And sort of that, I guess, on that aspect of talking about books and promoting books, what inspired you to start making the Latinx releases videos, which are some of my favorite, and some of which I've gotten so many recommendations in one day? So
Thank you. It can be a wild ride. It's like
I can
sometimes
imagine.
I'm mad if there's 20 books and I'm mad if there's one book. It's like I'm never happy. So I think it was just seeing the weekly roundups that I was getting from like Bookstagram mostly. I was seeing them and I saw a few on TikTok and I was like, gosh, yet another week without any Latinx authors releasing. It was just something that kind of like caught in my head. And then I would be like, wait a minute, like this book by this Latinx author is coming out today. Like, why isn't that on anyone's list? And then I know that everyone is not Goodreads fan, but I right now am still on Goodreads, even though I have a Storygraph account. And they send you an email every week. I have this email setting where they send me all the books that are on my want to read list that release every week in an email. And because I only, like about a year or two ago, I only started putting Latinx books on my I want to read so I could like track and see what Latinx books. It was just something I started doing a while ago. I got this roundup. It was after seeing these first of all, seeing only roundups and no Latinx books. And then I got an email and there was like five Latinx books. And I was like, I haven't seen a single one of these. And I was like, I'm just going to make a video. I'm going to make a video. I had like all the arcs, I think, or most of the arcs. And I was like, I'm just going to make this video. I was like, this needs to be out there. And it was something that drives me a lot, which is like spite. I was like, I'm just going to do this because no one else is doing this. And there were some like roundups of like Latinx romance, but I don't read I don't read that deeply into romance. I don't read a lot of like, I read more traditionally published books, and you know, it's only 6% of traditionally published books. So I was like, I think that there's a space here for me to make this content. So I just started making it.
What a fabulous start to that. And hey, you know what? Spite worked. And oh my gosh, I mean, totally. And I love that idea of just sort of using Goodreads to be able to sort of track what releases to then see like, okay, yeah, I can talk about these. But I feel like, yeah, it also kind of shows you like, wow, there's, you know, compared to all these, you know, white books that are being published, there's a difference. But just the fact that you're even posting about them and that you talk about them, because a lot of them I have not seen before because I don't see them talked about anywhere else. So it's really wonderful. And yeah, it's given me so many great recommendations and some wonderful reads.
That's great. I'm so happy because I sometimes feel like I'm shouting into the void. So it's so validating
no,
to hear
not at
that
all.
You get great recommendations from it.
I
Thank
do.
You.
Yes, of course. What do you hope people will take away from visiting your Book Talk page or Bookstagram page or both?
I would really want for them to take away a book, like a new favorite book that they had never heard of before. I think that that would be something very important to me. Or if there's a book that they really love or a genre that they really love, a list of books that they can then go research and find by Latinx authors. I mean, really, I just want them to pick up books by Latinx authors, period, in whatever capacity that is. If it's as a gift, you know, for someone, like I'm about to do like a Latinx cookbook roundup because it's, you know, November and everyone's cooking or whatever. And you know, a gift, or if it's something for themselves or something for their kids, which is why I always try to like, I always try to recommend at all ages, if at all possible, even though I don't read like board books or whatever, but I do try to like keep my eye on a few just to have some recommended out there. And then the second thing, this is like, it's not the secret thing, but I've had librarians ask me for like list of books and things. So I also want to be like a good resource to librarians because librarians struggle to like make good lists for their libraries. And so that's one of the other reason I do like a lot of like lists and roundups, because I want there to be a plethora of Latinx books for librarians to choose from. So yeah, just awareness and like the desire to want to spend money and on Latinx books would probably be my two main things.
What a great answer and a great takeaway. And yeah, that's so wonderful. And I love that the Latinx cookbooks roundup. That's so exciting.
Oh, I'm really excited about it. I cook a lot, and and I've had a few of them sent to me from publishers, and you know, I've tried some recipes, and so I'm really excited. I have like 8 or 9 of them, and I can't wait to feature them. So you'll see them soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, cooking from any Latinx country and region is like so top tier. And
oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
We do have the best food. I will say that.
Honestly. Yeah. My next question is, what is your advice for anyone who wants to get into book content creation?
You know, when I started, getting your analytics was not something that was like readily available. It became available within like a year or two. And I didn't do it at first. I was like, I don't know if I want to see my analytics. And finally one day I switched them on, and it was like the worst I ever feel is looking at how my posts do, how little I've grown, and all this stuff. And that is not to, like, I'm not here to like dissuade anyone from doing it. What I'm here to say is, like, ignore all of that and literally just talk about and do what you love, because there are people out there who want to hear what you want to say. And so ignore all the numbers if, as much as possible, and just put out into the world what you want. And, you know, don't judge the success of your account by how many followers you have or how many likes you get. Judge your success by your content and like the relationships that you're building as a result of your content. And you will be very happy and you will find your space online. And you may actually be like very surprised how, like, talking about what you love, like how many people want to hear that. So
love
do
that.
What you love.
Love that. Yeah. And what a perfect answer. What would you say is for you the best part about being part of the book world?
I think it's knowing now how it operates, but also having found so many people that read similarly to me, because the same way as, you know, so few books by Latinx authors are published, it seems like even less people read them. So finding the people that read the same books and enjoy them in the same way, that are reading them because they love them, not because I made them like my friends, is very wonderful and validating to reading the way that I do. So I think it's you know, just opening up what you think like the book world looks like, or Bookstagram looks like, or publishing looks like, and like creating your own space in it. That's been my favorite part.
I love that. And yeah, it is so true. Yeah. And just, yeah, I love just having seen how you've been able to grow that space in that community. Well, now I just have a few quick, fun questions specifically about Latinx books and authors and et cetera, because we, of course, need to talk about them. And this may be helpful for any listeners who want to diversify their TBRs and find more Latinx reps. So my first question is, what are some of your favorite Latinx books?
So I am Cuban American, and so I have really developed this love of like Cuban literature. A couple of them that were very, have been, become very sentimental and important to me are Don't Date Rosa Santos by Nina Moreno. It's a YA about a girl whose family is cursed by the sea and she falls in love with a sailor. And she does this really wonderful job of describing what it is to like feel like you're living in between Cuba and she lives in a little made-up town in Florida called Port Coral. So what it feels to feel like you live somewhere between Cuba and Florida, and it just felt very personal to me. And then the second book that's along that vein, it's a adult historical, and it's called Next Year in Havana by Chanel Clayton. It's another book where it's a historical fiction, a little bit of a romance, and the romance I could honestly do without. It's the way that Chanel describes like this very specific feeling of like the old school Cubans who came here in the 60s and 70s, like a lot of my family, and like the next generation, which is like me and my cousins and stuff, and like this differing like feeling of Next Year in Havana is like a thing that Cubans who emigrate from Cuba say. They're always like, I'll see you, the older generation, I'll see you next year in Havana. And many of them never went back. My dad just passed earlier this year, and he, excuse me, and he never went back. And so it's like, it's this oddly like nostalgic way of looking at Cuban immigration and like how you leave part of your heart behind in Cuba. And anyone who immigrates to this country experiences that in such a myriad of ways. But she describes the Cuban immigration story from that time period very well. And then to step outside of the Cuban immigration experience, I cannot like not mention Silvia Moreno Garcia and Gods of Jade and Shadow. Speaking of crying, it is a book that no matter how many times I read it, it makes me cry. And Cassiopeia Tune is a legend and an icon, a singular person who wants to get out of town and accidentally like unboxes the god of death and then takes a road trip in 1920s Mexico with him. And they very slowly on this road trip as he's recovering parts of his body because he's been dismantled. I mean, he fits in a box. So he's like putting himself back together and she's on this road trip with him. They're kind of very slowly falling in love. And it's just this really interesting fantasy that I've never read anything like it. And when I interviewed Sylvia, she was like, absolutely not. We are never going back to this story, which I'm very mad at her about. But I still always highly recommend anyone who loves fantasy to read it because it's this fantasy that takes place in a very specific time of Mexican history. And it's just beautifully written and it's wonderful. I didn't mean for that to be so long. Sorry.
No, oh my gosh, please don't worry. I love seeing the Silvia Moreno Garcia shelf behind you.
Oh yeah.
And
There, and then it goes to
oh yeah.
there. It's giant. And it's a mess right now because I have to rework it all. And then another fantasy that I really love, Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas, which it's just the most delightful like boho story. Like it is just so darling and the found family and the culture and just it's just such a darling, darling, adorable story. And I love Sunbearer Trials. Like Aidan Thomas can do no wrong in my eyes. So always Aidan Thomas forever and ever. And then I wanted to do one more. Oh, The Inheritance of Orquídea Divina by Zoraida Córdova. It's a little bit House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende, but it's about a family that's called back because like the matriarch passes and it's about all this magic that's in the family home and it's just a really beautiful, beautiful kind of almost magical realism type of story that I constantly recommend it to people who are looking for more contemporary magical realism for them to read up.
I love those and some great recommendations and some amazing stories. And yeah, oh my gosh, some favorites. Well, are there any upcoming Latinx releases that you're excited for?
I can't not say The Seventh Veil of Salome by Sylvia Moreno Garcia. It comes out next summer. I'm a one-trick pony. There's only one author I'm ever talking about. I don't know what to say. But I'm really excited about it. It is Sylvia writing a straight historical fiction. Like it's not it's not like fantasy and historical. It's historical fiction. It takes place on the set of a sword and sandals, like a Ben-Hur or something like that type of film, filming in Hollywood. So it also doesn't take place in Mexico. It takes place in LA in the 1950s. And one of the things she said when I interviewed her was there's an element of opera. And if you know anything about Maria Callas, who was like the diva that Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, like any current day diva wishes they were. Like Maria Callas was like even more of a diva. So I'm very excited for this like operatic kind of drama side story that's going to be happening in it, as well as for like the old Hollywood kind of drama that's happening behind the camera of making the film. So I'm very excited for that.
Wow, yeah. It's like
I'm
that's like
super excited.
movie material too, like the book adaptation. Like, hello.
I know where is her adaptation, but
Seriously.
I know. The other one is I'll show you, I guess, if you want to see. I had to write notes because I'm like I forget everything. But this one's a romantic, Son of
Oh,
Blood and
wow.
Ruin,
Oh, my
by
gosh.
Marielis Lares. And this comes out in February, and it's a gender-bent Zorro retelling. It's a romantasy and it's based in Mesoamerican mythology. So this
Wow.
is, Latinx fantasy coming everyone's way. Well, Latinx romantasy coming everyone's way. And then Cuban American author Janine Capo Cruzet, it's Say Hello to My Little Friend. And it's the way they're billing it is a Latinx Scarface. So if you know that story, like, you know, kind of these Cuban gangsters and like, you know, 1980s Miami, it's kind of based on that. And Janine's written a bunch of books that I really love, so I'm very excited for this one. And then I'm going to just give you one more.
Of course.
The Bullet Swallower. And this is by Elizabeth Gonzalez James. And this is a Cormac McCarthy novel meets Gabriel Garcia Marquez. So it's definitely magical realism with a little bit of that like dystopian in it. Takes place in the Wild West. And I'm so excited for this one. I literally just got it. And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out a time to read it. So
oh my gosh.
Those are my top four.
Yeah, I love that. And some amazing covers and all of a wide range of different types of stories and genres. Yeah. So that's so wonderful. Well, this answer may be similar to the books you shared just recently, but do you have any favorite Latinx authors or any others that you'd like to mention aside from the titles you just mentioned?
Yeah, sure. So I love Isabel Allende. I think her first book was The House of the Spirits, which I was not expecting to have that book like completely blow me away. And it did. And every book that she writes is just an experience. Like she has this way of like characterizing not just her characters, but like the setting, the time, the place. And she is just a masterful writer. And she writes across a lot of different genres. Her last couple have been this sort of mix of like historical fiction with contemporary. And she really has, you know, 40 something years later after publishing her first novel, she's just still such a powerful and amazing writer. So really almost anything by her. She wrote a memoir about her daughter Paula, called Paula, who passed away. That was like heart-wrenching. And she's had this like very dramatic life, and like she's just a very cool woman, you know. So I love her very much. Let's see, who else do I love? I think a newer author that I really like is Isabel Cañas. She wrote The Hacienda last year, and this year it's The Vampires of the Norte. And she kind of writes a little bit like literary horror, and her characters are like super delightful, and she brings everything to life. Like it doesn't feel old, even though she's talking about like the 19th century. She makes it feel very new and fresh in a way. And I think she's like a fresh new voice that I really recommend people start reading right away.
Yeah. She's awesome. I just listened to an interview with her, and just she's such a cool person. And just the story she shared. And yeah.
Yeah, she's really neat. She's a smarty. And then and this is an aside, probably more so than anything, but like all of a sudden she was like, here's my new baby. I have a baby now. And you got that secret for how long? Like, how did you do that? Yeah, I think she's an interesting person. And then on her, I did a Berkeley for the Vampires of El Norte. They have like these things for influencers where it's like a Zoom and the authors come and like pitch their books. And she literally had like this candelabra with all the like candles on, like in frame. She had this gorgeous, like it was beautifully framed. And then like at the end of her speech, which she had like beautifully memorized, she like blew out the candles as she's like ending her and I was like,
oh my
tears
God.
On my face. I was like, not only do you write amazing books, but like your personal aesthetic is like 100. Yeah. I think she's amazing. Like I love her social media presence, and her books are really great.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, do you have any favorite Latinx content creators?
I do. One of my favorites is Andrea. Her Instagram handle is Page Cactus. And Andrea is sort of a reporter sometimes, but she Something about her book reviews, she always delves into this space that, like, we could read the same book and our reviews would be completely different. She just always goes somewhere with a theme of the book or picks up on a quote from a book and like creates these like gorgeous reviews. I admire her so much. And yeah, I love her work. So Andrea at Page Cactus on Instagram is one. Another one is it's a spookish mommy. Her name Ashley. She is just all about the spooky. And Ashley recommends like all sorts of spooky novels, not just Latinx books, but she has this very like, goth aesthetic, but she's like a mom taking the kids to school. And I like her mixture of fun with horror and how she like does that. And actually, she edited an anthology, and I'm not going to find it. Oh, here it is. She co-edited an anthology called Human Monsters with her
Oh.
friend Sadie Hartman. Sadie Hartman is mother horror. I don't think she's Latinx on Instagram, but yeah. So Ashley has also edited a horror anthology. So she's a
Wow.
superstar. Yeah, very
Yeah.
casually amazing. And then the last person I want to bring up is Audrey at Perpetual Pages on Instagram and YouTube. And I think what I love about them is that they write these very succinct, great reviews. And like, I can just watch their YouTube videos for hours. Like, they're just so smart and capture so much. They tend to read a lot of YA, but across all genres and age ranges and stuff, and just like, I don't know, I think it's just like years and years of like taking in their content, like how much I respect Ari's work and like consistent and like amount of work that they've done. I really love what they do, and they put so many books on my radar.
That's amazing. I love those answers and thank you for sharing those.
I always like to shout out other content creators because like there are so many. I had to write them down because I was like, I could go on a list of like 100 of
Yeah.
them.
Well, I know we talked about Silvia Moreno Garcia needing a book adaptation like tomorrow, and but if there was anyone else or a book in specific, what Latinx book would you want to see be turned into a movie or a TV show?
You know what would be a really good answer for this? We Set the Dark on Fire by Taylor K. Mejia. This is a YA, it's a duology. It's a sapphic love story set in this like dystopian patriarchal society where like the husband has like the main wife and then like other wives, and the two wives fall in love. And I think that this would be an excellent story because I can never tell if it's at some point, like in the near future, or if it's in some dystopian 1920s. And I would just be so interested to see what the director would do with like the sparse landscape of the story, as well as just like seeing the story on screen would be amazing. This duology is fantastic. So this would be my pick.
Oh, I love that answer so much. Oh my gosh, that would be so amazing and that would be so exciting. And yeah, oh my gosh, well, I'm gonna manifest that and shout it out into the universe. And
Wonderful.
that is going to be the end of today's episode of Try Reading, but I want to thank the iconic, fashionista, magical, inspirational Carmen Alvarez for joining me today. Carmen, I had the most amazing time talking with you.
Oh, Gabriel, it's been an honor. Thank you so much for having me on here. This has like just been such a delightful interview, and I appreciate everything that you're doing for bookish community and your podcast. I loved when you reached out to me. I loved like li I think I've almost caught up on all your episodes, and it's like you're a fantastic interviewer, the fantastic future ahead of you. So congratulations, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Carmen. You are too kind. And thank you for all that you do in the book community and everything that you're doing with both on Instagram and TikTok. And it's just so wonderful. And so thank you. Oh my gosh, you are too kind. Where can the listeners find you?
You can find me on Instagram and on TikTok as @tomesandtextiles. And you can also find me on Goodreads. I think my name is Tomes space and Textiles is my last name. And The Storygraph, I'm Tomes and Textiles as well. If you're looking for book reviews there, I'm hoping to start those up for 2024. So now's a great time to follow me on there. And I'm also on Threads. Recently departed from X, unfortunately. I couldn't take it anymore. But yeah, mostly Instagram and TikTok are the top spots for now.
Amazing. Well, listeners, you will definitely have to go follow Carmen if you are not already. And Carmen, do you have anything upcoming or current that you want to shout out or promote?
You know, things are surprisingly quiet. I am working on a few things for early next year, but I don't have anything nailed down yet. And I don't mind like speaking a book into a TV show into existence. My things, I don't like to shout them out until they're solidified because I've had so many things fall through. But hopefully there are some fun things on the horizon for 2024. And I will always share those in feed and store. I will talk about them ad nauseum once they're announced. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, listeners, stay tuned. And thank you everyone for listening to today's episode of Try Reading. Don't forget to subscribe or follow the podcast. And if you'd like, you can write a review or rate the show, and it helps other book lovers find these amazing stories and amazing books and these amazing guests, and just maybe, you never know, they'll find their next favorite content creator or author or story. And as always, you can follow Try Reading on Instagram at Try Reading Podcast and on Threads at that same handle, and now on TikTok at Gabriel Reads. You can find the show wherever you get your podcasts, and you can catch new episodes every other Friday. You can buy books by Try Reading authors through the bookshop.org link in the Try Reading link tree below. And Carmen, I want to thank you again for bringing your magical self onto today's episode. I am just so lucky to have had you to join me for episode 48. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Gabriel. I appreciate you and everything that you're doing for all of the book community. It's like indispensable, and it's wonderful to be in community with you.